Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. This is the 11th of December in 2017, and we have an amazing show for you. We have Josh Bernstein, hour number one, and third hour, Lowell Ponte, and we've got some interesting comments to make on a lot of things. Firstly, what was coming up is the Alabama Senate race, which will, of course, put a senator in temporarily for 2 years. Donald Trump actually needs this seat because the margins are so tight in terms of passing not only his tax reform, but also passing health care reform in early 2018 and other legislation needs to be passed, major legislation. He's done amazing things so far in terms of the economy by regulatory removal of all kinds of regulations, setting an atmosphere of innovation and bringing repatriation of money, raising the word I've heard is 2.28 million jobs since he started last year, less than a year ago, since Inauguration Day. What's likely to happen if Roy Moore gets in, though, is going to be much of a shock to the Republican Party, both to Ryan and McConnell. It's very probable they'll be removed by the end of 2018 after the midterm elections. It's very probable that you'll pass two more Supreme Court justices, which will end the issue of Roe versus Wade, which, by the way, is not a law. It's just a judgment of the court in 1973. It's very probable that that judgment will be overturned, especially since ultrasound. In fact, we've had conversations with Dr. Fred Graves that the judgment by the Supreme Court at that time, if they had ultrasound, would have not been able to pass that judgment regarding abortion to put significant restrictions on it, such as the bill called Heartbeat Bill that's being pushed by pro-life organizations, which I support, so that you can detect a heartbeat, you'd stop abortion. Of course, it should be at the moment of conception, because the baby is completely genetically distinct from the mother and is not her body. We need to understand that if women lose their right to carry babies, that they'll eventually hand over to the state, and the state will then grow artificial embryos in facilities that are licensed, and they will not allow unlicensed or wild reproduction. If you think that's not going to happen in one or two generations, you're not paying attention to the movement of government taking away and becoming the parent of children in our society, forced vaccinating, etc. The next thing, of course, is North Korea is still moving on their plan to deploy a nuclear weapon. Next step is to blow a airburst nuclear weapon, probably near Guam or in the Sea of Japan. If they do that, we are already preparing to actually knock it out with our missile tests right now going on with our air campaign with South Korea, which is one of the largest in history. That's very likely. My predictions for 2018 are that we are going to have a trade war with China because they're not going to play fair, even with Mr. Xi in China. And he's trying to acquire a persona where he's trying to pretend that he's like a new Mao Zedong, only a business-type Mao Zedong. And his statues are being erected all over the country besides Mao. We see Xi kind of getting an occult of personality and the Chinese have got a collective superiority complex that's going to get them into a lot of trouble, especially if they say they're going to knock down our missiles or stop us from taking over North Korea or decapitating the regime. They'll be in direct conflict with Japan and America, and Chinese cities called the Dragon Cities along the coast will disappear in an atomic vapor. They may think that they can take on America. They're deluded. They cannot project power on the world. They don't have enough aircraft carriers, space-based weapons, or anything, and they're decades away. And every time they move, we have weapons even more advanced. So they need to understand that right now, despite their industrial hubris with the cooperation of globalists, that China is on the edge of being destroyed, and they don't get that yet. It's also their ancient enemy, Japan, is armed to the teeth with nukes at a very short range. It will only take 12 to 14 minutes airtime for every city in China to disappear in atomic vapor from just Japanese weapons. So it's very probable next year you're going to see a conflict with a decapitation by us of North Korea. A trade war with China is extremely probable. Well, we have Josh. Josh, welcome back, Josh.
Great to be back on the program.
I want to start off with the Alabama race and why this is so critical. Then I want to get into the movement of our embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv, which, of course, every embassy is always in the capital of every country. I'm amazed at the ignorant hubris and angst by Islam, which to me is a psychotic pseudo-religion, over the fact we move our embassy, which is none of their damn business. This situation with Roy Moore, it fell apart even further when a young Nelson, this one that accused him, apparently completely didn't talk about the narrative that something like 18 years ago, she was actually involved with a divorce, and Roy Moore was actually one of the attorneys, or I think the district attorney, involved in that situation. So she's trying to do a payback. Her manipulation of the so-called yearbook has now come out, and they still won't submit the book to have an ink test to see the years of the ink and the different colors to an independent agency. To me, their entire argument's falling apart. And besides that, Alabama is what I call the deep soul. It's a super strong religious group of people, pro-life, and I don't see that Roy is going to lose. I think Roy, we call it the monster vote, which is the sin vote that won't talk to pollsters. On its face, he's 3.8% ahead, but I'm willing to bet he's going to win by more than 10%. And that'll mean he'll be in the Senate. Now, McConnell's reversed his statement saying they're going to release some money to Roy, which I don't know because I've contributed financially to Roy's campaign twice. And I can tell you that the Republican Party are going to have a clean house because the man who's going to pull the plug on the swamp is going to be Roy Moore. He's going to do a hell of a job inside the Senate, isn't he?
Well, look, and that's if he gets there. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm certainly not near as optimistic as you are. There's been a lot of negative stories run against Roy Moore. I know that the Alabama conservative women are hesitant, but hopefully the people in Alabama will realize it's not about Roy Moore. It's not about President Trump. It's about making America great again, and more than anything else, it's about keeping someone out of the Senate that's going to stop his Make America Great Again agenda. And I think ultimately, and I'm hoping and praying, that the people of Alabama will see that and see, the leaves through the trees or whatever you call it, and they understand that it's not really about a senator. It's about the collective ability to get things done. And if, God forbid, Doug Jones wins, it's going to be very, very hard. We're going to have to really concentrate on trying to find a good person for Minnesota and that special election just to get back to even. So it's very important. If Roy Moore wins and we figure out a way to finagle out the Minnesota race as well, now we'd be in a lot better position.
You're talking about Minnesota because of Franken leaving me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they tried to get more.
I've said this many times before. Al Franken never should have been seated for that race. Never. After the 8 months of wrangling back and forth and the recount, after the election night, Norm Coleman was up 725 votes. Then the left-wing lawyers ascended into Minnesota, and the next thing you know, by the morning, he was only up 206 votes. And then 1 month later, after the election,
they certified it to Al Franken, and he was winning by 312 votes. Well, the Minnesota Majority Organization forced a investigation, and they found out that 1,099 illegal felons voted in that election. Then we also remember hearing about two instances afterwards in which one of the people that worked for one of the counties was found to have like 35 ballots in the back of their trunk, all made out to Norm Coleman. And then there was another one in which there was about 300 or 400 that were dumped in a dumpster outside of St. Paul that were all filled out for Norm Coleman. So wouldn't it be political justice, or whatever you want to call it, political justice, poetic justice, if Norm Coleman runs again? And again, he's more of an establishment figure to begin with, but imagine if he wins and wins that seat again. I think that would be poetic justice.
I think that's a really likely thing if he runs again. And I'm sure all eyes are on the election and the fraud that's going on. Back in a moment. Stay there. This is Josh Bernstein. This thing will do, Israel and America. And welcome back. So, Josh, I want to get into this thing about the movement of the headquarters. And we don't even need to get into religious stuff. I mean, every capital in the world has the embassy in the capital. And it was started by Bill Clinton back in the 90s, and nobody even had a fit. It's been repeated by George Bush and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama repeatedly over 22 years that they're going to move the capital to Jerusalem. Why is it a big fit when Donald Trump says he's going to do it? I mean, this is bizarre, isn't it?
It is very bizarre because, again, where was the outrage back in 1995 or whenever it was when, under Bill Clinton's administration, they voted to move the embassy to Jerusalem? They didn't give it a timetable. They allowed wiggle room. In fact, they allowed a waiver to be done every 6 months from then till now. And every president since Bill Clinton has exercised the waiver, including President Trump, doing the waiver one time so far. But on the last time, after 6 months, has decided, you know what, I'm not going to do the waiver anymore. I'm going to allow what Bill Clinton, what George W. Bush, what Barack Obama, all these presidents before me have decided that they agree with doing as well. So my question is, where was the outrage? Because, again, the outrage wasn't there for those three presidents, but yet here we are in a situation 22 years in the making, and now all of a sudden we're moving the embassy and all hell's breaking loose. Again, it doesn't make any sense. And
yeah,
when you boil it down, you have to look at the fact that this president, President Trump, is the most pro-Israeli president we have probably ever had in the history of the United States.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
No doubt.
His son-in-law is an Orthodox Jew. His ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, is a New York Jewish attorney, also Orthodox conservative Jew, who actually has a company in the West Bank known as El Bet, which is actually a company that creates and produces settlements as well. They have talked about it. He was controversial when he was going through the process of confirmation, but they have talked about it right from the beginning, that one of the goals that they were going to do, I thought it was going to be a second term goal, to be quite honest, but here we are now at the end of the first year, and they're moving the embassy, which they say is going to take 4 years. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so some people think that might be an opening to so-called peace. I don't see peace when you have unreasonable people in the Palestinian state where, with Jared Kushner, it's only 2 months ago that he got Fatah and Hamas to agree not to fight each other inside Palestine. And the Palestinians still train their children at 3 years of age to wear a bomblet on their third birthday to blow themselves up. I mean, they have a trailer they haul around that actually is supposedly a cafe where they have some young Palestinian or Palestinian man blow himself up, and there's pasted pieces of organs of Israeli young people on the walls of this, made in paper mache and plastic, indicating that they want to kill as many Jews and as many Christians and as many anybody who happens to be visiting in Israel of any type, including gays and lesbians. And it's supposedly acceptable. It's not. And they haul this trailer all around the occupied territories and in the Gaza Strip. I think it's disgusting. And I think what they should do is wall off and call Gaza a province, never give them territorial total control, disarm the buggers immediately so they don't have any weapons factories inside Gaza making rockets, Katyusha rockets and so on. I think it's obscene that the international community and the United Nations dares to open the damn mouth over this. I find it disgusting.
I do too. And if you remember, just at the end of Obama's presidency, there was a resolution against Israel, and there was only 8 resolutions against Syria at the time, and 208 of them in the United Nations Security Council against the state of Israel. So there's been a bias from the United Nations right from the get-go. These children are taught to hold their teddy bears, dress up as little jihadists, hold their teddy bears, and then they get a whole circle around, the grown-ups get a whole circle around them, and they give them a knife, and they tell them to cut off the head, assuming that it's supposedly, to presume it's to be a Jew, cut off the head of your teddy bear, and then when they cut the head off, then the parents take red paint and they pour red paint on the floor to symbolize blood. This is something that's been going on for a long time. I've interviewed many former Islamic jihadists as far as, you know, Walid Shabbat and Tawfiq Hamid and
it's a cultural mental illness and it shouldn't be tolerated. I think the previous administration's playing games with them. You know, to me, what you defang, you defang the tiger, and you then make sure it can't kill anybody, and you put it in a province, and you say, that's it. And everything is monitored in and out of the so-called open-air prison, because Gaza, because until the culture changes, same here in America, I looked at some surveys that 51% of American Muslims, and that's 10.6, and this is by their own admission, believe in Sharia law, which is completely anathema against the Constitution, state, and federal laws, and 20% of Muslims in America would use bombs and bullets against fellow American citizens if they felt there was a specific reason. I mean, that's not acceptable.
No,
if you really think, if you think that's what you really believe, they need to interview these people and deport the buggers and get them out of here.
Yeah,
they don't have any business being here at all, period.
Here's the thing. If there was ever going to be peace in the Middle East, there it can only start with one thing and one thing only. Every single Islamic country in the entire world must sign a declaration that they agree with the existence and the right to be an existing free country in Israel, and that they will not be hostile towards them anymore. And that should be the number one thing. Every single Muslim country in the world should have to sign that before any
But you know how you make them sign that? You do what Donald Trump's doing. When Donald Trump talks to Iran and the mullahs and the fact that they're threatening Israel and threatening America, because Iran basically is building missile systems that can hit the United States within 5 years, you know that, just like North Korea. They have scientists on the North Korea launch sites there, Korea, as well as Venezuela, because Venezuela is a communist country working lockstep with the Russians and the Chinese. And these two countries, Russia and China, are not our allies by any means. Mr. Putin is the illegitimate great-grandson of Rasputin. He's an evil bastard, okay? This is the Putin. He's like a Russian mafia don, and the same as Xi. Xi's got this cult following in China that I think is scary. And if you're a second child born in China, if you're not a senior member in the party, you don't get Chinese citizenship. So you're a little girl or boy. More often they kill the girls because now they got 122 million excess males in China that are marriageable age. They have to go to Malaysia or even Palestine to get a wife. Did you know that? They have to go to outside the country. It's crazy. And the Chinese, we should not be given the most favored station status. Santa's elves should not look like Chinese. We should not be letting them get away with this stuff. And Trump, I can tell you, my prediction is you're going to see a trade war with China this coming year. They're not going to stop cyber hacking. They're not going to stop trade violations of copyright. The factories that make products under license in China are making knockoffs after that shift. on the same damn machines. It's sickening. And then they're going to arm the heck out of the South China Sea and the Sea of Japan. We're crazy to negotiate with them. Just like the Palestinians, no negotiation, just action. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, we've got lots of dangerous things going on right now.
Yeah, but we can take action.
We've got to take out the North Koreans, and we can't worry about the threat from China saying that if we preemptively take out the North Koreans that they're going to do something. I mean,
yeah. Josh, I've been reading that Mueller's planning on charging in the next 18 days Donald Trump with obstruction of justice, and they're trying to trump this up via ABC, MSNBC, CNN, etc., the criminal news network. My guess is that if Donald Trump doesn't move quickly to get Sessions to start a lateral attack by starting an investigation of Uranium-1, which will take out Mueller, he's going to get charged possibly even before Christmas or right after. And if he does,
As if right now he's allowing Mueller to hold a gun to his head and keep pulling the trigger with one bullet in the chamber, and you don't know where that bullet's coming from.
It's Russian Mueller roulette. Let's call it Mueller roulette. Russian Mueller roulette.
Yeah,
because it is all Russian. Because it is Russian. Russian Mueller roulette. And honestly, I think he came back too late. He shouldn't have supported Luther Strange. He should have supported Roy from the start. He should have actually campaigned for rather than just getting Bannon to go down there and do a robocall that's coming out today. Trump, if Roy loses or if he wins just by a small margin and he does get in there, he better defend him when he gets to the Senate, because McConnell reversed himself and said, okay, well, we'll release the funds. I don't know how much money was released to help Roy at the end of the campaign. What I've heard from Roy is that there's been a 10-to-1 spending on commercials that attack Roy in every possible way. And lies from this maniac, Doug Jones. This guy is not even a moderate Democrat. He says, I got lots of guns. I defend gun rights. Bullshit.
The Chuck Schumer wing, you know, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders liberal, without a doubt.
Well, it's not even, they use the word liberal. You know, I wouldn't call it liberal, because liberal means you kind of accept people of different religious groups and orientation. And I think Donald Trump, when he said to, Olympic athlete, he said, you know, you can use the washrooms down here at Trump Tower. I don't think Trump is racist or against any specific sexual orientation group or whatever. I think when they call themselves liberal, they got to change the term. They're not liberal. They're twisting and turning. For example, you mentioned, I talked about this with Lowell Pond, who'll be on the third hour. Do you know that there's a big hotel complex that is owned by Nancy Pelosi and her husband, and they won't let the hotel workers unionize in their own hotel? I mean, they are sold their champions for women and for lower socioeconomic groups.
Check in America.
So when I hear this stuff that they're liberal, I don't think they're liberal. I think they're liars. I mean, these people are twisting, lying snakes. I mean, there's no way we can even say they're liberal. They're not even liberal.
Well, I find that ironic, since they push for, all these union laws and card check and forced unionization at workplaces, and yet here we are having their own place and they won't allow anyone to unionize. They're hypocrites, really, is what they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, but Nancy Pelosi looks like she's getting some kind of pre-dementia. She has these spells now where she completely loses it and can't make a structured sentence or make any common sense when she's in front of a camera. And she's got this stark look on her face like, where am I? Am I at dinner or am I talking in front of the camera? She's got this stark kind of like puzzled look like she just had a seizure. Absence.
She probably did. I think she's suffering from dementia. I think that, if the Democrat Party of California would actually do the right thing and recall her, or at least give mandatory testing for dementia, because I think that she would fail that test and then she could be removed from office.
I think actually all Democrats suffer from Democratic dementia.
They do. That's they suffer in some way or another. That's true.
Yeah, it's all eating away at their frontal cortex. It's just like eating away. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever behavior they have, they also try to dismiss it. It doesn't matter, you know. The other big story that I think is going on is Bitcoin. And I have so many emails from people thinking that Bitcoin's the best thing since sliced bread. And I watched Stuart Varney coming on. He's a very smart British guy that runs Fox Business 3 hours on daily. And he made a real simple statement. It's going to be around even after it crashes. It could, if it's big enough, because there's idiots out there that are saying it's going to be trillions of dollars. 40% of all the Bitcoin's owned by less than 100 people. People don't understand this is going up like a rocket. And if it in the IRS, we talked about this last week with Loa Ponte, the IRS have actually filed a suit between 2013 2015 for 14,500 and some people that have to give their entire ID, tax ID number, ID, phone numbers, addresses, etc. And once you start tying Bitcoin to the actual identification location, IRS numbers, maybe biometrics, you've got literally the digital matrix in play. And people don't understand this. This is going to turn very noxious. And as Stuart Varney said this morning, it's going to result in a lot of pain. I mean, if you've got $100, $200 and you don't mind losing it at the gambling tables in Las Vegas or somewhere, fine. But if you put your life savings into Bitcoin and think you're going to be a rocket millionaire, and one of the comments I saw on Drudge the other day is some millennials think that they can invest in this. They don't need a job anymore. They've invested in damn Bitcoin. It's craziness. And I don't think people understand how dangerous this is, do they?
Honestly, I'm a political expert. I don't know much about the Bitcoin whole situation. I haven't studied it like I've studied
Lowell has. He co-authored.
Lowell has. I've had Lowell on my show. He's an extremely smart and brilliant person. So I'm going to refrain from saying anything to sound stupid, because if I don't know something, I won't say anything. Yeah, but we're on politics. I'm all over it.
Yeah, well, the politic of it is I think that governments eventually, for example, Turkey set up its own Bitcoin, this is a cryptocurrency-like thing, just a week or two ago. And there's really good evidence that the Saudi Arabians and others are investing in Bitcoin, which is why it's taking off like a rocket. Now, I think it's very concerning, because if you tie Bitcoin to biometrics, you've got the matrix. You have total control over your individual, and then all you have to do is make any kind of, quote, regular money or gold or silver illegal tender. And then you're really screwed, haven't you? You got a population.
No, but what I would say is that we are moving towards that. I mean, I did a report, if you remember, on your show just last week or a week before, in which the Chinese are doing social credit scoring, in which they are literally making a public ranking of all 1.3 billion subjects in China, and they're ranking them on their adherence and loyalty to the Communist Party and to the government.
Well,
and based on those scores are where you live, where your kids can go to school, and all the what kind of car you drive, and all of those things. And they say it's going to be mandatory by 2020. So, you know, I think you're correct when you talk about all of the different things that they're doing as far as microchipping people and things like that. I think we're all moving into that, dangerous dystopian realm.
Actually, I was even sarcastic about a month ago. I said, they don't need a microchip. All they have to do is pass a mandatory Velcro law. So you have to have your cell phone attached to a body part by Velcro.
Yeah.
Wow. Just chip your damn phone, Apple Pay and all these pay things. That's how crazy it is. And people, they don't get it. It's like they're a little mouse that says, the cheese smells so good. It's just going in the cage. And I can get out of the cage quickly before the thing falls and the hatch gets me. I'm saying, no, you're not going to get out, mouse. The trap is laid for you. You're going to get caught. People don't get it, do they?
No, they really don't. And we're moving closer and closer to that. I mean, first it was just swiping a card, and now it's sticking the card into the machine. And God forbid the next step is going to be, oh, well, if you want to buy groceries, or if you want to start your car, if you want to open up your front door, if you want to do this or do that, well, then you're going to have a microchip in your body. And that's where, unfortunately, I think we're going. And that is insane.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you how they link this, because I've done research on this for decades. Have you ever heard of a thing called smart dust?
Yes, I have heard of that.
Smart Toss is where you have these microchips embedded everywhere, doorways, walls, roadways, everything. And the Smart Toss will link up to your chip. Now, let's say your chip has a reader distance of, say, 2 or 3 feet. People say, oh, you can't read further. In fact, I think there was, I won't mention the other person that pretends that they're an expert on the chip, but they're a fool, this female radio host, etc. But the fact is, with Smart Dust and other technologies, your reader distance is limitless. And all they have to do is take the Smart Dust in every telephone pole, roadway, whatever public building, and they know where you are to a cubic meter anywhere. Even from your cell phone, whatever. They can tell where you are from your cell phone. Even when you think the damn thing's turned off, the police have a way of hacking into your cell phone so they know exactly where you are. Right? If they wanted to put a missile on your head, they could.
Yeah, exactly. And unfortunately, like I said, that's where we're going. Parents live about 20 miles away and they're safe.
Oh, really? I'll get that in an hour or two then. And welcome back. Josh, get one more segment. I'm going to get an hour or two on the fires here in California and technology we need to use to actually do levels of things, basic stuff to make sure fires don't happen or spread. And also, we need to talk about other things. For example, America's been under an onslaught. We've had weather, basically warfare against America. I'm going to bring on Deborah Tavares talking about things that she's talked about on this show for years, about trying to make Northern California burn. The fires in California burned 250,000 acres already, and they're not stopping. We literally got evacuated, or threatened to be evacuated. We literally could look at the ridge across from our home, and the whole damn thing across an arc of about 20 degrees was on fire. And wow. Luckily the wind was blowing in a different direction, but a lot of people lost their homes here. Literally, I think around 1,200-1,400 homes were destroyed in buildings. That's just in the so-called Lilac Fire. There's 6 fires going on in California, and they're not all stopped. For example, even Lilac, they say 60% control, which means there's still hot spots they're putting out because there's still areas that are burning. What people need to understand is they have a blocking high out in the Pacific Ocean, blocking the weather systems moving in from the Pineapple Express, bringing moisture. There's no look at all that there's going to be any moisture coming in for weeks. California's a tinderbox, and with the Santa Ana winds, I call Satan Ana. And not only that, we now see geotectonic events stirring up where you see these lights over scintillating over Los Angeles and Northern California near San Francisco. I think our country is under geoclimatic attack because we have technology that can turn off earthquakes and volcanoes and turn them on. We also have weather system technology that can actually move superstorms away from us. We're the most advanced next to Russians. 12 years ago, they stopped a superstorm cyclone from striking Sao Paulo, Brazil. But we didn't see any evidence that Donald Trump or his people knew that this technology existed or implemented. So what I see happening in 2018 is a lot more of the same. Fires like crazy in California, earthquakes in Northern California, the Cascadia subduction zone due every 300 years to blow, called the Dance of the Thunderbird in British Columbia, Washington, and Oregon, which is really close. I've got my granddaughter there, little Matilda, lives up there in Portland. I do not think people understand that America, since Trump's been in office, has been under unbelievable geoclimatic and fire attacks. And these fires are not going to end, by the way. This is going to go on and on and on, and it's going to, you know, they want to empty out the population of California, especially Northern California, but our fires in Southern California, this was nuts. We almost lost our home last week, okay?
I think the worst part about the whole California fires is that it's going to force people to leave California, and it's going to blow out red states like Arizona and others. And that's the last thing that we need. I don't know what's causing it, whether it's just, you know, dry climate or if it's arson or if it's a combination of both.
Well, let's put it this way. We have some evidence. Well, there's a couple things. Firstly, we're in a moderate cooling period, which means it's a mini ice age, which causes northern cooling zones. That's why you see these super storms bringing snow all the way to Birmingham, Alabama, of 14 inches. We're also on the other side, these cold masses are hitting the warm masses at the equator, so you're getting super storms generated. But we could turn them away. We have the technology to do that, but we didn't. Then on top of that, We have the centers of trees blown out, which means there's ignition of these trees in Northern California. I have some pretty good evidence sent to me that some of these fires that were started there were started by pyromaniacs using very advanced, what they call Star Wars-type weapon technology. This is not normal pyromaniacs just throwing a match out in tinder. And then we have the climatic stuff. We know, if you look at the blocking highs from satellites, they have a blocking high out in the Pacific they've had since Fukushima Daiichi, because there's a ton of radiation still coming in from there. It's not backing off or slowing down. Now, next year I'm doing a lecture for the Academy of Environmental Medicine on it, because I'm an expert on the nuclear reactors, radiation toxicology, and the three layers of radiation coming in at the ocean floor, the ocean surface that can literally form a vapor cloud up to a couple hundred miles inland, and in the upper troposphere, and it has an effect on what's called the fourth layer of the Van Allen radiation belt that connects the galactic and the solar weather to the Earth and it was called the lithospheric layer, which is the crust of the Earth. So it can trigger off earthquakes and volcanoes. It can trigger off the release of ringwoodite, releasing water, which drives magma to lower the melting point of rock to cause magma to cause earthquakes and volcanoes. It can interfere with the ionosphere, punching holes in the ozone layer, increasing ground level radiation and cosmic rays, but also screws up the weather systems. We have weird, what's called polar inversions, bringing extremely cold weather from the Arctic. We've got reverse seasons where you can have warm weather, and all of a sudden you get a blast of cold, and it's so cold it's insane, like the one that hit Birmingham just last few days. So what I see happen is convulsions of really bad weather in terms of really hot weather, dry weather. Like out here in California, this stage is like a tinderbox just waiting for some pyromaniac to throw the wrong match. It is scary.
And that may have happened. I mean, I know that
they caught one up a few months ago. It was up in that wine country, and they actually caught the pyromaniac who was throwing matches into it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Not good. I mean, you got some nutball who's actually throwing matches into a dangerous place. And here in California, we haven't had proper moisture for years. I mean, we got some earlier in the spring, but it hasn't. I mean, you look out and you say, another day in California. It's like, oh, my God, it's an OMG day, The weather here, you know what it was yesterday? 86. This is December 10th. This is 11th. That's not normal. Mm-hmm. We've had temperatures near 100 degrees within the last 2 weeks. Santa Ana winds, and the winds are not low. They're so high that they're pushing palm trees and bending them over. It's like, oh, my God. And, you just imagine these embers, and they can fly 4, 5, 10 miles. So if you have a fire somewhere, you don't think, well, that's not near us. But the embers can land on your roof or a palm tree, or we've got some Cook's Pine tree we're thinking about cutting down because they're 60 foot high right by our pool. These trees are big suckers, and they have pine cones. If they hit you in the head, they're going to open your skull open. They're twice the size of your fist, these little pine cones. They're not little pine cones.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is, these embers, when we bought our home, there was fires years ago. Our home, we've been here almost 10 years this next July. The embers where you can see some of the tiles, if you have a tile roof. It's a big house, about 5,000 square feet and 5,000 of concrete around it. And we have a wall around the entire property, which keeps away the snakes, because we got king snakes. They're a lot, 15-foot long snakes. And they eat the rattlesnakes. I mean, we got big sucker rattlers here, the biggest ones you can think of in America.
So you live on a mountain, kind of?
We're about 1,200 feet up, and I can see Catalina Island from my studio, looking out to our Pendleton Marine Corps base in Catalina. But the fact is, we do have more moisture, luckily, here than Northern California. It's still not good. That lilac fire, and here's what happens, is the electric companies are directly responsible. They shut off power to like 17,000 people right away because they knew the high winds were slapping together the power lines, and they were near dry tinder, and they're throwing sparks down on the ground that were actually started off. So the power companies knew this high winds with the Santa Ana were actually triggering off the fires, and they didn't fix their power lines to make sure they wouldn't generate sparks under high winds. They just shut the damn power off.
Well, you have the California government controlling, temperatures in people's homes, whether they can smoke inside their own homes. I mean, you've got a government in California that's trying to, run and control it all. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, they put tiers in power, and, of course, we switched to LED lights, and we have these little sterilizer things so we don't get electro pollution in our home. But our power bill dropped $1,100 in 1 month. From $1,600 to a little over $400 just by putting LED lights. But you got to use tensorizers in your wall or you're going to have electro pollution. Now, they create electromagnetic field pollution, but it's only within a foot of the light. And the fact is that They have these tiers, and if you're higher tiers, it's like a communist state here. I call it Commifornia. If you're a higher tier, they're gonna nail the crap out of you with a much higher fee. The same with our water bill. Our water bill is insane here.
Yeah. Didn't Jerry Brown sign into law the allowal of openly communist members of the California legislation to actually govern in the state of California?
Yeah.
So there's no precedent for California.
California. And the other thing they're doing is they actually are framing legislation this week to actually outlaw anything other than electric cars in California.
Yeah, that'll go over.
Yeah. Let me tell you. They do that, and I'm leaving, man. I'll say that's it. I'm adios, California. I love living here in terms of the weather, except I don't like it this dry. I know that there's clouds up there, and I'm sure they could see those clouds and actually make some rainfall, but they don't see any attempt whatsoever. And again, remember, I've been flying with pilots and so on for 5 decades, like my uncles ran a flying club, and we were seeding clouds 4 decades ago. I can tell you, why don't they modify the weather so that they bring in some moisture? I don't understand it. It's
the only thing that's going to save California is a 9.6 in the middle of Haight-Ashbury.
It's coming. I predict next year, 2018, 666 year, you're going to have some major quakes in L.A. and north of there. Maybe they're going to take all the residents of Jerry Brown and he'll go to heaven or hell, wherever he belongs, but it's not going to be a good place.
Come to the Valley of the Sun. We need some more red voters out here.
You're talking about Phoenix and the area around in Arizona, right?
I'm talking about, Arizona. We need more red.
My son just moved there. He moved to Flagstaff a week ago.
Beautiful area.
Message and data rates.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.